Alrighty, what's going on, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of the Trent Corville Show. I am him. I greatly appreciate everybody joining me here on this beautiful day whenever you're listening to this. Ladies and gentlemen, ding dong, the witch is dead. Oh my goodness. Obviously, in the news cycle over the weekend, a man by the name of Urban Meyer was trending on Twitter for about 3 days consistently. Let me preface this by saying, as a child, as a seed, if you will, a young buck, there was no other hero that I looked up to more during my childhood than Urban Meyer. Truly. I mean, I obviously am a Florida Gator fan. No, I did not attend the university, but it is in my bloodlines. I love the team. I watch them every Saturday, even though a lot of times I would much rather be spooning my eyeballs out because of the way that the game is played. By the way, hashtag fire Dan Mullen after next week is gonna happen. But anyways, Urban Meyer brought me 2 childhood national championships. How could I not love that human, you know? And how could I not love the team, the gang of derelicts that he created to win 2 national championships? I was in love with this team and with this coach. Think about that team, and I know I've talked about it before, but think about Tim Tebow and what we know about Tim Tebow and his character in the same locker room as Aaron Hernandez, Janoris Jenkins, the Pouncey Brothers. How did this work? Maybe it was because the only thing we saw on TV of the Florida Gators for 5 years was Tim Tebow, you know, kind of keeping the rest out of wraps, you know? But that team, I was in love with them. And then after Tebow leaves for the NFL, basically the whole roster's gone because that's what happens in college. They eventually leave. Urban decides, you know, my health, my heart, oh my goodness, I have something going on with my body that I need to address right now. So at this very time, I am stepping down from the Florida Gators and will not coach football any longer. I will take a nice cushy TV job where I can go on air once a week, twice a week, whenever it is, talk a little football. Everybody will listen to you because you're Urban Meyer. Does the whole TV thing for a year, Fox Noon, Sunday. I've kind of wiped it out of my brain. Still a little upset. Actually, a lot of upset because, you know, I see him on TV after saying his heart's terrible. It's kind of like, all right, well, what are we doing here? You know, are you setting up for something else? And then a year after that happens, 1 year on television, Urban Meyer announced as the Ohio State football head coach. Okay. That's a little weird. A year after you said you had heart problems that kept you away from football, kept you away from coaching football, now you go to a completely different university to do the same thing that you did at Florida. In a way, I respect it. In a way, it's kind of like, hey, go get your money, I understand, but at the same time, you ruined a ton of fans' lives. Like, you ruined the Florida Gators. Give me an example of the Florida Gators being anywhere near relevant since Urban Meyer left. They haven't. And that's why this whole conversation now of, like, Urban in the NFL, like, yeah, it's not working out because this is the men's league, pal. Like, welcome to the NFL. Everybody has their welcome to the NFL moment. His welcome to the NFL moment was when he stared another head coach in the face and said, it's like playing Alabama every week here. Wait, really? I'm confused. This is the men's league. This is professional. You get drafted to be in this league. You don't choose to go to the... You get drafted to be in here. You earned your right to be in here. Oh, I tell you what, man. We don't have... You know, there's not a Purdue. There's not a Rutgers in the NFL. God, this is killing me. And Vic Fangio looking at him like, yeah. And then Vic Fangio said in a press conference, because he was asked about it, he was like, I don't know Urban, I know he's a good college football coach, but he told me that the NFL is like playing Alabama every week. And that's all you need to know about Urban Meyer in the NFL. He's a phenomenal college football coach. 2 national championships at Florida. 1 championship at Ohio State. He's a legend in college. And so after stepping down from Ohio State, taking a little backtrack, wasn't really on TV much, you know, it was kind of urban hiding out, potentially at his chop house or his whiskey house that he was at over the weekend, and we will get to that in a minute. It is announced that Urban Meyer will now be the head football coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Huh. Interesting. That's weird. I thought you were done with football, like the other three times that you've said it. Interesting. And obviously, it kind of, in a way, it made sense because you have Trevor Lawrence coming in, generational talent. He's going to be the number one overall pick. Urban knew that when he took the job, so it kind of seemed like Urban wants to take this quarterback under his wing, you know, lead him through the NFL. But newsflash, Urban, you've never been in the NFL. So how are you going to lead a rookie through the NFL when you yourself are also a rookie? And that's what people don't understand about the NFL. You can't, as a rookie head coach, you cannot look at a 10-year NFL veteran and tell them what to do. You can't. You can't. Because they've been there before. They know what to do. You're there to smile and wave. You're there to facilitate all of the madness when you have 53 men on a roster who are all millionaires playing one of the most violent sports that any sport has ever seen. That is what you are dealing with as a head football coach in the NFL. And a lot of them are very calculated. Like Sean McVay calls the plays. I understand that. A lot of them are very calculated. But I feel like the guys who have really succeeded, you know, obviously Bill Belichick, but now like Bruce Arians, who kind of just hangs back, lets the team do what he wants. Andy Reid, he hangs back. He lets the team do what he wants. We're kind of seeing that now with Mike McCarthy in Dallas. He understands he's got a team. He's got a roster. Hey, I'm going to let these guys eat. I'm going to let these guys work on the field. I will hang back and make sure everything's good from a front office, you know, standpoint. That's what you need to do. That's obviously there's things a head coach does that impacts the team on the field. You know, the way you schedule practice, the way you schedule meetings, what those meetings look like. Urban Meyer can't do any of this very clearly because in college, Urban Meyer's job was to be the closer. You know, like, say you're selling a car at a local Honda dealership, and you've kind of got somebody on the fence. They don't know if they want the Accord. They don't know if they want to go down the street and get a Chevy Malibu. And so you bring in the big gun. You bring in the big gun to close the deal. That's Urban Meyer to college football at any team he's at. He comes in when a five-star recruit is kind of on the fence. He comes in, sits down, tells them why they're going to win a national championship, how they're going to help them win a national championship, and how he will make you an NFL superstar. That's what he does. That's Urban Meyer. He's not calling plays. He's not. And the great thing about Urban, because we've seen as of recent, he likes power. He likes having a lot of power, it seems like, because, you know, there was a couple front office people that came out with the Jaguars, said they couldn't do it anymore. They were done. Or like, I can't deal with this guy trying to come in here and tell us what to do. You're new to the franchise. You're new. People there have been doing it. Like, you're new to the NFL, period, and to come in starting, hey, we need a new practice facility. Hey, we need to build more infrastructure around the stadium to make it this, you know, Duval City near the stadium, which I absolutely agree with. I think you're seeing a ton of NFL teams now, like, putting casinos and malls and restaurants and like, it makes sense to do that, and I understand where he was coming from, but immediately to come in there and think that everything is going to be at the tip of your fingers because you're who you are in Urban Meyer, that's not how the men's league works. And we saw it with the greatest college football coach to ever step on the field in Nick Saban. He got ran out. Like, there are so many stories of NFL players yelling at Nick Saban, yelling at him. Imagine if a college player for Nick Saban yelled at him. Imagine what would happen to that player. If an NFL player looks at their coach and yells at him, you know what the head coach is going to do? Probably yell something right back, and they're going to get into a little argument. But it's a mutual relationship. It's a mutual respect. Urban Meyer wants to look at these players as these are my players. I can decide whatever the hell I want to decide based on what they're doing. That's not the case. That's just not true in the NFL. So wrapping this whole thing up, Urban Meyer over the weekend, he lost a Thursday night football game in Cincinnati to the Bengals. Close game. They could have won it. They didn't pull it out in the end. Bengals came back from a 14-point lead. And Urban, instead of getting back on the team plane, decides, you know what? I'm going to hang around. I'm going to go see the grandkids in Columbus. This sounds like a good idea 4 games into your NFL head coaching career to not get back on the team plane with your team and every one of the coaches that you've hired. That's interesting. Okay. We heard about that. We kind of, you know, weighed our options there. And then on Saturday, a video comes out of Urban Meyer in his own whiskey house, which I believe he owns like 3 things on this little block in Columbus. It's like the Urban Meyer Chop House, the Urban Meyer Whiskey House, and then just like a full-fledged bar. That's how they're connected. He was in the middle at the whiskey house, okay? He was at the Chop House with his family, seeing the grandkids, quote-unquote, and then he went over to the whiskey house. And then a video surfaces on Twitter, which, hey, PSA to everybody. Every person on this planet has a camera. They do. They do. Just make sure you have that in the back of your head for any kind of decisions you're making in the public sphere, okay? Somebody's gonna see it. There's a video of Urban Meyer in a bar, looked incredibly intoxicated. I mean, I believe the whiskey rule when you're drinking just straight whiskey, and correct me if I'm wrong, you do a 2 fingers, right? You put 2 fingers up next to the glass and you pour the whiskey, and that's how much you're supposed to have. He looked like he put an extra finger or two on that glass and filled the whole thing up with Urban Meyer's whiskey. He probably has his own whiskey by now, more than likely. I mean, he's a legend in that town, so it makes sense. So Urban is at his whiskey house, and there's a video comes out of Urban. What seems he's kind of, you know, playing the cool guy, sitting at the bar stool, just looking around. And a very young, what it looked like, co-ed, beautiful woman, beautiful, starts dancing on Urban Meyer. Now, this is interesting because, yeah, Urban's married, he's got kids, and he's got grandkids, as he's let everybody know, because they are so important that he can't go back on the team plane with his squad to get better for next week. He has to go see his grandkids, which he could definitely fly down in an instance and have them stay at one of the 17 homes he owns in Jacksonville, more than likely. A little interesting. A little, that's why this girl has a lot more to play with it, because I think she knows Urban better than people are thinking. Like, set the scene. In a bar, there's a lot of times where that stuff happens, right? You start dancing with random people. I understand it. Urban Meyer's not a random guy. That's his whiskey house. His name is on the top of that restaurant. Everybody in that bar knew who he was. And for him to not have the self-awareness to understand what was happening in that moment, as soon as she started dancing on you, Urban, you stand up immediately and walk away. You don't have to push her. You don't have to make a big scene. All you do is walk away, because guess who you are? You're Urban Meyer. 3-time college national champion, the head coach of a rising franchise, the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's who you are. And to sit there and act like he did is honestly baffling. But it makes sense, because that's who this guy is. He leaves Florida. We understand that 51 players during his tenure at Florida were arrested. He goes to Ohio State and hides the fact that one of his assistant coaches was beating his wife for his entire tenure, kept it under wraps, didn't want anybody to know about it, and more importantly, didn't do anything about it. He did nothing about it. He wins a national championship at Ohio State, leaves again, says he's done, not coaching football. Then what does he do? Oh, I'm going to go try the NFL because I'm Urban Meyer and I can do whatever the hell I want. That's not the case when you get to the men's league, sir. Unfortunately, hate to break it to you. You don't do what you want. You do what you want for the team, and that team's got to win ball games, because the 53 players on that roster have to win ball games to make good money. And if you're getting in the way of that, If you're standing in front of, if you're a distraction at all, you are going to get run out of that locker room faster than John Ross runs a 40-yard dash. I swear to you. I swear to you. We're going into week 5 of the NFL season, which is going to be a great week. It's going to be a phenomenal weekend. Urban Meyer is out of the Jacksonville Jaguars after week 7 of the NFL football season. I guarantee it. You can't keep this guy around. You can't. That is terrible for your football team to have a distraction like that. Because you know, every game, the cameras are going to Urban after every bad play. They're going to go to Urban, see how he reacts. Every media, all the media is going to be asking the players questions about Urban, which they can't stand. I'm telling you, they want to talk about them, the team, how they're playing, and what they do to get better. They don't even want to do the press conferences anyway. So these players are going to be riddled. Everybody's going to be asking questions about Urban Meyer. Every media member wants to know. And granted, they should, because that's what's going on. Unfortunately, instead of talking about the team's success and how you guys are doing, we're going to be talking about your idiot coach who got drunk at his own whiskey house and decided to let some co-ed dance on him, and now he's paying the price. That's what's happening right now. Right now in Jacksonville, they are the owner, Shad Khan, who's a phenomenal owner. I think he's really coming around, especially how they're building out Jacksonville. I like Shad Khan. He came out with a statement and said that Urban has to earn our respect back, which means, in my eyes, there are lawyers already working on how they get Urban Meyer out of there without paying him. And, you know, I'm not the biggest law guy, obviously. I didn't go to law school, okay? But I believe in contracts, you know, there's a for cause, for clause, if you will. So if there is a cause that, you know, goes against the moral cause that you have in the contract, they can fire you without paying. That's a thing in the contract. No doubt in my mind right now in Jacksonville over the last 48 hours, they've been figuring out how to do this because you can't keep a guy like Urban Meyer in that type of situation. Urban Meyer can't coach in the NFL, period. That's it. He's done. He tried it. He tried his best, I think. And then you look at what he did when he got to Jacksonville. He hires a racist coach, not great off the start, and then says he personally got at him, and, he's a distraction. We don't need a distraction. Well, it's already a distraction because you hired him in the first place. We don't need distractions. Then what does he do? Sign Tim Tebow as a tight end. That's not a distraction? Instead of every day, instead of in the media talking about your first overall pick, Trevor Lawrence, we're talking about Tim Tebow playing tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's not a distraction. Huh. And then 4 games into the NFL season, you decide to stay in a city you just played a game in, and then you get drunk and go to your own whiskey house, and a video comes out of it. Classic Urban Meyer. He's done it everywhere he's gone. Every single place that Urban Meyer has gone to, he has found a way to ruin it. He has. He found a way. He found a way. And you know what? I wouldn't put it past this scumbag to be doing this all so he can get out of Jacksonville. That wouldn't surprise me at all. At all. They're 0-4. They're likely to not win a football game this year. When has Urban Meyer ever started 0-4? Never! Never in his life! He's never lost 4 games in a season before. How do you think that makes him feel? He's like, oh, well, I gotta get out of here. What do I need to do? I need to go to a bar. I need to get drunk. I need to fill up on a co-ed. I need a video to go out. And then in 2 weeks, I'm out of here. That's what he did. That's what he did. Classic sneaky Urban Meyer. I said on this program multiple weeks ago that Urban Meyer was going to be out before the season end. Well, am I a magician? Am I a future predictor or whatever those people call it? What are the people, crystal ball? Psychic. That's what it is. I'm like a psychic. I knew it. And quite honestly, if it was any other college coach, I would have given them the season. I would have. Given him multiple seasons. Matt Rhule won 4 games in his first year. He's still in Carolina. They're 3-1. They're playing good football. If it was any other coach, I'd have been like, yeah, give him a year. He's good. But I saw Urban Meyer, and a smile went across my face. I said, we all know how this is going to end. We do. So the Urban era is done in Jacksonville, I would like to say. It is done. And what's his next move, you might ask me? Well, there's a team out there in Southern Cal, Southern sunny California, that just fired its head coach 2 weeks into the season, that's looking for a guy like Urban to do one thing and one thing only: recruit. That's what they need him to do. They need the recruiters of all recruiters in Urban Meyer to come in there and turn their program around, because college football, college sports, professional sports are all a business. It is all about money. How do you bring money into your program? Bring an Urban Meyer in. Simple. That's what you do. That's how you succeed in college. In the NFL, it's much different. I can't stand Urban Meyer. I would love if he never got another job, but it's inevitable because of his past history that he will have another job. Not in the NFL, but in college. So Urban Meyer's a scumbag. We all knew it. We've always known it. I can't stand the guy. He's going to be out in Jacksonville. But there's a lot more things to talk about in the NFL. Okay, we got to get to him. That happened this weekend. Tom Brady returned to Foxborough, Massachusetts, to play the team he won 6 Super Bowls with on Sunday Night Football. Now, I'll preface it, terrible game, it was raining. Tom seemed, and granted, I mean, you gotta think, the guy spent 20 years in the same franchise with the same owner and the same coaches, you know, like he knows this place. Boston, in general, Massachusetts was Tom Brady's state, he owned it. He could have been the mayor for all people cared. Like, hey, you keep winning the Super Bowls, you do whatever you want here. And for him to return, you know, in such a graceful fashion, for, you know, the Bucs to get a win, I believe 19-17, it was good for Tom Brady's psyche. It was good for his mentals, because if he went in there and lost, that would have been a detriment to Tom Brady, in my opinion. I feel like he would have never recovered from a situation like that. Going back home, like, you're favored by 7 points. It was just inevitable for them to win. Terrible game, though. I mean, it was raining a little bit. It was Tom Brady weather, okay? That's what I was nervous about when the pregame on, because I had the Pats. I wanted them to cover, and they did. Thank you. But I wanted them to cover the 7 points, and I thought they would, because Bill Belichick knows that quarterback inside and out. Inside and out. He knows anything and everything about Tom Brady and what he does on the football field and off the field. Bill Belichick knows. That's why I bet on the Patriots. Simply. Simply because of that reason. It's not like I learned last year in the playoffs to never bet against Tom Brady. That's what I learned. And this week I did, because I knew they were going to keep it close. But as soon as Sunday night rolled around and they, you know, the camera went on the field, it was a little dreary. There was a little rain. It was about 60 degrees in Foxborough. I said, good God, this is Tom Brady weather. This is Brady weather right here. Uh-oh. People are in trouble. But Tom came out a little antsy. He did. He was missing some throws, overthrowing people. He wanted a big splash. They won this game on the ground. The Bucs just ran all over the Patriots. The Patriots had 1 yard rushing, by the way, in this game. One. Mac Jones, sidebar. Phenomenal game. He played really well under the lights. First prime time game. That's a sign for the Patriots to be like, hey, this kid stepped up against the guy who owned this franchise for the last 20 years. You're supposed to be him, is what everybody's saying. Like, hey, if anybody's going to do it, it's Mac Jones. Mac Jones, hey, he's tall, okay? He's got a little beer belly. He's not super athletic. He's the next Tom Brady. That's what everybody was saying about Mac Jones, like, literally. And now you're staring the guy who won 6 Super Bowls in the face, being like, let's go. And Mac went. Like, he had a good game. I was watching. I was like, okay. He's got a little fire to him. He understands the competitiveness of this league in general. But it was just a really cool thing to see Brady in a different uniform in Foxborough. It was weird, you know, and the fans, obviously, the Brady. Brady for about 3 or 4 minutes. And as soon as Brady went on the field, though, soon as he went on the field, the boos started raining. They came in wolves. I tell you what, I mean, I thought Patriots fans were going to kind of go into this fair weathered, like, that's our guy, though. Like, that's Tommy. No, that's what they all call him. They don't. No Patriot fan knows Tom Brady personally, but everybody calls him Tommy. Hey, it's just Tommy Foxborough. He's a guy. Like, oh, what are we doing? Bring him in. Bring him in. And, you know, but the fan, I thought they were going to be, like, cheering for Tom a little bit during the game. Like, he does something good. They're like, oh, that's our guy. That sucks. But Tom went in there, did what he needed to do, got the win in Foxborough. I know, like, it was an incredibly emotional night for him, I'm sure. He didn't come out during the pregame, probably because of the amount of hands he was going to have to shake and hugs he was going to have to give. He kind of wanted to wait, you know, till the end. But it was cool to see the Bucks, though, especially in that secondary. They're a little suspect. Bucks, you know, they have some holes. Last year, they started the season rough. You know, they didn't have a phenomenal regular season. They ended up winning the Super Bowl, which, you know, what the hell do I know? Brady and that offense are going to struggle this year, I think. I think they're going to struggle. That defense is going to struggle, too. They can stop the run, but three of their starting corners are out. So you got second team, third team guys, and now Richard Sherman playing for you, who's washed up. I mean, he's done. So, Bucks are, I'm not going to say anything about the Super Bowl, okay? Because, actually, I will in the next segment. But the Bucks are going to struggle, not only in this regular season, but through the playoffs. I guarantee it. The way the Rams, you know, absolutely blew them out, like, and it wasn't close the entire game, I have some opinions and, some thoughts about what's going to happen down the line. Is Brady done? Is Brady not going to win his eighth Super Bowl? That'd be crazy. But I won't say that because we know who Tom Brady is. He can win championships. That's what he does, much like Urban Meyer in college, except Tom Brady's not going out to whiskey bars and dancing with co-eds because he's got a beautiful wife at home, Giselle, okay? That's the kind of respect Urban needs for his beautiful wife, who's crazy, but she's beautiful, okay? Next thing, the Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys have a legitimate shot to win the Super Bowl this year. They do. This team lose in the opener. Close game against Tampa Bay Bucks. 31-29. Played them close. Let me read off some things for you here. My guy, Ezekiel Elliott. Now, he gets a lot of hate in the media for kind of who he is, the person he is. Yeah, he had that domestic violence thing about 5 years ago. We'll never forget that, obviously. I know in your heart you're a scumbag, but we'll move on from that. He's playing really good football right now. He lost about 20 pounds. He's looking lean. He looks like Zeke when he was at Ohio State, absolutely running all over Alabama in the national championship game. And what we saw early on in Zeke's career, putting up 1,500 yards, 15 touchdowns. Zeke Elliott's one of the premier running backs in the NFL. I don't care about his age. I really don't. I think he is a really good football player. Through four games, 340 yards on the ground, four TDs. Great. Dak Prescott's throwing the ball about 30, 35 times a game. And to have those numbers that Zeke has is incredibly impressive. And Dak, we know Dak's a good football player, but he's playing MVP football right now. 75% completion rating through four games. Crazy. That's perfect. Like that's you can't ask for anything better from a quarterback than over 70%. By the way, Aaron Rodgers last season throughout the entire regular season, 73%. So, there you go. Dak Prescott, over 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions through 4 games. This offense is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now that the O-line's healthy and Dak's healthy, you got two guys at receiver who, top 10 receivers, Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb are both in that conversation. They both are. They are phenomenal talents. And then you got Gallup in the middle, Schultz, tight end, Zeke in the backfield. And then the defense, who was our main concern going into the season, Micah Parsons is playing every position in the front seven on defense. He's played this season. He's played middle linebacker, outside linebacker, defensive end, and defensive tackle. All like during the game. I mean, he started out as linebacker in week one and then moved to left defensive end week two and had 2 sacks. And then the next game, he's playing middle linebacker and covering people. That's crazy. We never really see that. That's crazy. Like, Micah Parsons is an absolute freak defensive rookie of the year candidate, but his teammate, second-year player Trayvon Diggs, through four games, the kid's already got 5 interceptions. two games this season, Trayvon Diggs has had two interceptions. And it's not just, like, you know, sometimes interceptions, it's a lot on the quarterback. You know, there's a lot of that. Overthrows, kind of, you know, you throw it right to the defender. All these interceptions that he's had has been strictly on his ability to cover wide receivers. He has been playing great football, and he's athletic. He started out at Alabama as a receiver, so I think his ball skills, and he was a punt returner too, so having elite ball skills, and at Alabama, you do not drop passes. You do not drop passes in a Nick Saban offense, I'll tell you that right now. You'll be cut. Your scholarship's taken. You drop a pass in practice. So this guy's got great ball skills. He's playing really good. You can put him up against a lot of the receiver. I feel like once he plays maybe a Devontae Adams or a, you know, DeAndre Hopkins or a guy like that, he'll struggle a little bit for sure. I think he's still a little flimsy with his feet. He can kind of, you know, be a little overzealous, turning outside, and one of these good guys is going to get you with a quick step and then go right back inside. So, you know, that's going to happen, but Trayvon Diggs is playing really good football. The Dallas Cowboys are a legit, legit Super Bowl contender at this very moment. Anything can happen, as we've seen. Granted, this time last year, we were saying the same thing about the Cowboys, and then unfortunately, Dak Prescott, you know, breaks his entire body, it felt like, during that injury. I mean, it was absolutely gross. But the Cowboys playing good football. Dan Quinn's dialing up that defense. Kellen Moore, the former Boise State quarterback, couldn't make it in the NFL, calling some great plays for the Cowboys. And, you know, big Mike McCarthy, Pittsburgh guy, you know, blue-collar type guy. That's what Mike McCarthy is. He's, you know, facilitating all of those very, very big personalities on that Cowboys team. So I'm really loving what the Cowboys are doing right now. They're going to make a run. The NFC's tough, though. There, you know, think about, you got the Packers, you got the Bucks, you got the Rams, you got the Cardinals. I mean, you got tough competition. That play, the NFC side of the NFL, that playoff is going to be really fun to watch. Really fun to watch. But I want to move out to the NFC West to talk about these teams that are absolutely balling right now. I said at the beginning of the year, what did I say? Kyler Murray, MVP. Said it. Marked it down. What is he doing right now? Leading the NFL favorite-wise to win the MVP. Thank you very much. Putting up absolutely crazy numbers. 76% completion through four games. 1,300 yards. Four games. 1,300 yards in the NFL. Unbelievable. 9 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's also got 3 touchdowns on the ground. This guy, what we're seeing, is a little bit better version of Michael Vick, in my opinion. And obviously, the league has changed where more guys like, if Michael Vick was around right now, there would be no NFL defense that could stop that man, especially how far he can throw it. But Kyler has the speed of a wide receiver. He has the pocket awareness of a Drew Brees, and he's got the arm like Aaron Rodgers. It's ridiculous. I mean, he has everything you want him to have as a quarterback. The only downside is he's literally 5'3". I mean, he is one of the smallest. When he's wearing that helmet, it looks like a bobblehead. It is I love watching the guy because he's just like, he's scampering around the field. He's just moseying his way on through people. Like, he's so small and so elusive. He's like Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill can have 3 guys around him, do a little, you know, stutter step and be by everybody. That's Kyler Murray, but he's playing quarterback. He's playing quarterback. And A.J. Green's playing good football. DeAndre Hopkins is playing good football. The rookie, Rondale Moore, he's playing great football. And that defense, you got Chandler Jones coming off one end, and oh, you got J.J. Watt coming off the other end. That's unbelievable. That's what you want. And then Buda Baker in the secondary. Isaiah Simmons. This team as well. The whole NFC, it feels like right now, have a chance to win the Super Bowl. Cardinals are 4-0. I'm loving what they're doing up there. Down there, in Arizona. Another team I want to talk about really quick. Obviously, the Rams. They're coming off a loss to the Cardinals. And the Cardinals, you know, they put up, I believe, 35 on that defense. We got to remember about the Rams. They're going to make a run. Matthew Stafford's a great quarterback. The offense is there. The defense is there. They have the head coach. It makes sense for them to make a run, but they're going to get, you know, there's going to be games like the Cardinals game where they're not clicking on the offense. They're getting to Stafford and he's getting them a little off edge. He's getting them a little off center. You know, if everything's not perfect in the Sean McVay offense, you're gonna struggle. And when you're getting pressure, it's definitely not perfect, because that offensive, the only thing the Rams, you know, the only concern for me is the offensive line. And quite honestly, if you want to win a Super Bowl or any football games, you have to have the offensive line. You have to. I mean, they're the guy protecting the guy who makes all the plays, who hands the ball off, who throws the ball, who runs the ball. That's your most important entity on the field right there. And if you don't have a good offensive line room, you're really going to struggle. And so I think the Rams will struggle, but the NFC West is absolutely stacked. I mean, the Chargers right now are playing great football. The Raiders are a good football team. They beat them 28-14 on Monday Night Football in the Dome. That was, for some reason, there was a lightning delay in Los Angeles in a dome. It was confusing. The game was pushed back 30 minutes, but fans didn't have to leave the stands. TV people didn't have to leave the field, but the players did because there was lightning in the area. Now, I understand SoFi, what they've described it as, more of a canopy. It's more of a, because the sides are open. But can lightning bend itself? Has there ever been like a horizontal lightning strike? I don't think so. So that was a little interesting. Frustrated me a little bit because I was ready to go at 8:15 and then kickoff was at 8:55. But they're playing good football. They have a full team. They have the team. The Chargers defense is good. Joey Bosa is a, even though his mom has a lot of things to say about our president at the moment, but Joey Bosa, he's a good football player coming off the edge. Derwin James is a great safety. Justin Herbert is a stallion of a human. He is huge. I remember I heard Ryan Clark talk about the first time he met Cam Newton and how, like, how dominant he was just standing there because of how huge, you know, 6'6", 250 pounds. Justin Herbert, 6'5", 250 pounds. This guy's big. He's a defensive end. And Ryan Clark said the same thing, that when he met Justin Herbert, it was like this presence that you felt with him was like, oh my God, like how are you this big and playing quarterback this well? They're playing good football out there in Los Angeles. Both teams and, you know, all the teams in the NFC right now have a chance to win the Super Bowl. They do. Right now, I think in the AFC, it's Chiefs, Browns, more than likely. I mean, the Ravens are playing good football, but I don't think they'll be able to hold that for the long haul. You know what I'm saying? But ladies and gentlemen, we've talked about a ton here. Okay, a lot of stuff today, but I want to get a couple things off my chest before we get out of here. Make sure you do one thing and subscribe to the podcast. That helps us greatly. 5-star rate and be a friend, see a friend, tell a friend, share it with a friend. And more importantly, every day, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 12, I am on the Scott Hamilton Show on ESPN 98.9 FM in Charleston, charlestonsportsradio.com, and the ESPN 98.9 app. Tune in. We're having a ton of fun there, but I greatly appreciate everybody tuning in today. I hope you have a beautiful weekend. Spread some love, spread some peace, and I will see you all next Thursday. Peace and love.